Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Doug Evans, host of Missing Power Radio, where we bring you exciting, inspiring, and informative interviews with a wide variety of speakers. And these speakers will help you find deep down inside of you that power that you have but have not yet used to excel yourself to the greatness you have been indeed predestined to achieve. And today we're going to have some fun. Be sure to have pen and paper nearby. You're going to want to capture some notes from our special guests today. So be ready for that. And just before we introduce today's special guest, I'd like to invite you to visit www.discoveryourmissingpower.com. Be sure to sign up for our free newsletter if you have not already done so to learn about our coaching program and my upcoming speaking schedule. Today's guest is somebody that I've known for a while and definitely have followed for a number of years. And our guest is going to be Chris Widener. And Chris is an international speaker, an author of many, many books. And these books are really popular books, and I think you'll enjoy them. We'll talk more about those in a minute. And I know he's a coach to many and many CEOs, including some Fortune 500 CEOs. And rather than go on, I thought I would just give you a couple quick quotes of what a couple other people have said about Chris. And the late, great Jim Rohn said that Chris Widener is the leader of a new generation of personal development and leadership experts. And another one that really caught my eye a while back was I saw a quote from Brian Tracy, who says, "I have spoken to more than 3,000 audiences, and I can tell you that Chris Widener is one of the best speakers in America today. He has wonderful content, extremely motivational. He's funny, he's sharp, he's quick, and to the point, and you'll love him too." So with that, I think you're going to love him too today on the program. So, Chris, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me, Doug.
Super. Thank you for taking some time out. And the one thing we didn't talk about a little bit on the intro, and we'll let you add whatever you want, Chris, but you know, Chris is really, you know, either the authority or one of the international authorities on leadership. So we're going to kind of zero in on leadership today. That won't be all of our talk, but will be a good chunk of it. But, Chris, what else should folks know about you that maybe I didn't touch on?
Oh, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life. I think that's one of the things I like most about myself is that I've tried lots of different things, and I've had a wide variety of experiences. I think that's one of the things that makes life interesting. When I was a kid, I was a ball boy for the Supersonics, the Seattle Supersonics, now the Oklahoma Thunder. Boo. I have been speaking since 1988. I ran for office once. I was a candidate to the United States Senate. I've written 12 books. I co-hosted a TV show with Zig Ziglar. I've traveled all over the world, Russia, Singapore, China, Australia, Germany, Egypt, all over the world. And I like to try new things. I like to get out of the box and have a fun life. So that's probably the biggest thing you need to know about me is that I like to try new things. I'm willing to take risks. I think that people who take risks not only have more fun, they also achieve more. And that's probably the biggest thing. I'm married, 4 kids, live outside of Seattle. I'm a lifelong Seattleite, except for college in Minnesota, and then my first job out of college was in New Jersey. I tell people I did 3 years in Jersey, but not in the state prison, not in Rahway. But other than that, I spent my entire life right here in Seattle.
Super. Well, great information. Hey, well, being the leadership expert, Chris, and seeing we're going to kind of zero in on that a little bit today, why don't we get started with how do you define leadership?
Well, you know, I really define leadership. I narrow it down. I always like to take people one step lower. And so rather than saying, you know, defining leadership, I like to talk about influence. And influence is the ability to change other people's thoughts, beliefs, and actions. And so really, leadership is influence. Influence is the ability to change other people's thoughts, beliefs, and actions. So if you're leading somebody or if you're trying to sell somebody, and leadership and sales are very similar in their basic functions, which is influence. Whether you're influencing a decision to buy a product or a service, or you're influencing people to buy into your vision of your company or your organization, either way, you have to get people to change their thoughts, beliefs, and actions. And so that's really what I focus in on, is how do we get people to do that?
Well, while folks are doing that, Chris, what would you say maybe are the three most important things to, you know, either remember or concepts that leaders need to learn to be able to accomplish that influence?
Well, the first thing is that, and I don't know that I would give you three. I mean, the first one is really the foundational one, and then again, sort of subsets from there. Leadership and influence is not about what you do, but about who you are. That's the fundamental thing that people need to understand if they want to have more influence or have better leadership, sell more, whatever, is that a lot of times when we are trying to figure out how to be better leaders, somebody will say, tell me what to do. Like you go to a seminar and people say, tell me what to do. And they always start with the doing. I think it's important that we start with the being. And that's really a problem for us, because you can do all the right things, or you can know all the right things to do, but ultimately, if you aren't being the right kind of person, it can undermine your ability to lead or sell. So, for example, probably, you know, low-hanging fruit here. If you're a used car salesman and you know all the right ways to sell, you know all the different ways to close and sell and product demonstrations and all those kinds of things, but if the other person doesn't trust you, then they're not going to buy from you. And that has more to do with who you are than what you do. And so, you know, we see it all the time in every day you open the newspaper, there's some highly skilled person who, politician, religious leader, business leader, whatever, highly skilled, knew the right things to do, but they were undone because of character flaws. And so the primary thing that I teach people is that you need to focus more on your character than you do on your actions. People oftentimes want what I call persuasion techniques. Give me a technique I can use to persuade people. And that's really the wrong answer. Rather than persuasion techniques, we need our own personal transformation. Rather than what do I need to do to other people, what do I need to do to myself so that I can cultivate that trust, respect, and admiration from others so that they are more likely to listen to me, so that I'm more likely to have influence in their lives.
Well, would that be the mistake that people, that once they are leaders and they are in a position of leadership, that they forget to cultivate that trust? Or are there other, you know, maybe more common mistakes or other mistakes that leaders make on maybe a regular basis?
Well, I think a lot of leaders make that mistake. If you are not focusing on your character, eventually it's going to catch you. You can go quite far with little character if you're a highly skilled person. I mean, I could give you a list of politicians, but you know, let's just start with John Edwards. You know, John Edwards rose to where he was a candidate for president. He was vice presidential pick, you know, all these different kinds of things, right? He was good looking. He was smart. He was highly skilled. He was rich. He had all those things. The problem, though, is that he didn't have the character that was needed. And the character is finally what, you know, undid him. Because people will follow you for a while if you're highly skilled, but eventually if they find out that you don't have the character, then that's when they don't follow you anymore, and they'll bail on you. So the mistake is thinking that your skills are going to take you a long way, while at the same time being a person who's lying, cheating, stealing, whatever, all the way, and not realizing that ultimately you're going to get caught.
What do you think those leaders have kind of that attitude, that mindset? You know, why are they making the mistakes they're making? And as you said, we can pick on politicians or any number of groups, and we keep hearing that, time and time again. What is it, the old fat head syndrome, or what's really causing them to make those mistakes so frequently?
Well, I think they probably never learned it. They don't know the value of character. I think probably very rarely do you have somebody who knows all about character who then just decides to throw it all to the wind. Chances are most of these folks are people who they never learned it. They were never aware of it. Most of these people were probably very skilled from the time they were a kid. They've always made it on their skill, and they've just never had to. They've never had to be a person of character. Look at some athletes. Really terrible characters. When you look at the amount of people in the NFL who are convicted felons, but they get passed through school and college because they can play football. Well, ultimately, the justice system catches up with them when they get caught shooting somebody at a club or something like that. It catches you. And again, whether you're a politician or, a preacher, you get preachers who are great preachers and they build big congregations and they think they can do anything and say anything and get away with it. And eventually they don't because something catches them because they never had to look internally and develop that inner core that's going to allow them to deal with the great successes that they have. I think a lot of times what gets people is they achieve these great successful things, but they don't have the inner strength, that inner core of character to even handle it, and it becomes like a pressure cooker, and they explode. They do something they shouldn't have done or say something they shouldn't have done and they get themselves into trouble and the whole house comes tumbling down.
Interesting. Well, before we go on with questions, I'd like to just remind the listeners that today's special guest is Chris Widener, and Chris is an international speaker, an author, a coach, and we could probably add a bunch of other things here. But we're talking today primarily about leadership and kind of trying to define leadership and talk about some of the qualities and characteristics of great leaders. And I think, Chris, I think I'd like to turn it a little bit, the tables just a little bit. One of my complaints and just kind of one of my viewpoints, and maybe I'm off base, but I just feel that compared to years ago and kind of as the years go on, there's fewer and fewer leaders out there, real great leaders, be it in politics or entertainment or sports, and that adults and children, they really don't have some of the characters, at least I had growing up, to kind of get excited about and look up to. And it just really seems that people almost run away from being leaders nowadays. What's your thoughts on that? And if you agree, why do you think we have as few leaders as we do?
I definitely think that, I'm trying to think this through, do we have less leaders now? I think we probably have the same amount of leaders that we've always had. I think that there's millions of great leaders that we just never hear about. I think what we I think probably what makes us think we don't have as many leaders is the proliferation of cable television and the fact that they have to fill, you know, 100 channels 24 hours a day, and our society has gotten a lot more sensationalistic. It's gotten to the point where, you know, they're filling all the time with the doings of the Paris Hiltons and the Kardashians and the, you know, you got Nancy Grace. I mean, Nancy Grace, she's probably a nice person in life, but her whole show is just blathering on and on about bad things that happen in our world. She has to fill her show every single night with bad, rotten things in order to get ratings to make her money. So she's sort of symbolic of everything that's going on with our society. You have, a billion websites and magazines and newspapers and television and the proliferation of the media and the need to fill it, top that off with people's desire for titillating, sensationalistic stuff. And I think probably what we're seeing is we're just seeing more emphasis on the negative things. I think there's still millions of great men and women all around our country and all around the world who are trudging off to work every day or coaching Little League or running, you know, churches that none of us are ever going to hear of or businesses that none of us are ever going to hear of, the real backbone of society, making a difference in the lives of people. But what we hear about are these terrible things, these gunky, rotten people who do bad things. So that's probably more what I think about it. There's plenty of great people out there.
Well, with that kind of thought, Chris, in that philosophy, is it possible to be a well-known great leader nowadays, or will the media tear anyone and everybody apart?
I definitely think it's possible, and I definitely think the media will try and tear you apart. I think there are some great folks on either side. You're talking politics. I think there's some fine, moral, upright leaders in the Democrat Party and in the Republican Party. And then you got morons in both parties too. You've got some great leaders in the religious world, and you've got some morons too. Business world, you've got some great people who run some big, you know, multi-billion-dollar corporations, and then you got the guys who are, you know, siphoning off funds to pay for million-dollar birthday bashes for their mistresses and, you know, all the gunk. You know, one of my favorite quotes of all time by an old Catholic theologian named G.K. Chesterton, and G.K. Chesterton says, "Original sin is the only philosophy empirically validated by 3,500 years of human history." Basically, what he's saying is if you go back through human history, the only philosophy we know is absolutely true is that people have been doing bad things for the entire history of humankind. And, you know, you go back in time and you can look at great kings and queens who did terrible, rotten things, and then you can find good kings and queens who didn't do terrible things. It's the state of humanity. I mean, people get tempted to do bad things, and unless you're working at your character, you're going to do it. And that's why I focus so much on this whole idea of character development. It's just to get people to think about making sure that they're maintaining a strong inner core. The reason why is people focus on success. And I want to give you an analogy that I think is important for us, the relationship between success and for this I mean successful leadership. They focus on growing their business, making their business bigger or whatever. I'd like you to think of your heart or your inner core as the foundation and think of your business as the house, right? So what happens is you get somebody who wants to build a big business, and they start building the business and, you know, pretty soon it's growing and blowing, and they build some 5,000-square-foot house, their business. But they've only got a 200-square-foot foundation because they haven't kept pace in their inner life, in their core, in their internal strength. And so, if you know anything about building, you understand you can't put a 5,000 square foot house on a 200 square foot foundation. The foundation always has to be bigger than the house or the ability to sustain that. I mean, obviously, if you go up two levels or up three levels, you can have more square footage in the house, but we're keeping this simple, right? If you build a 5,000 square foot foundation, then you can put up a 10,000 or 15,000 or 20,000 if you go up three or four stories. Then you can put up that bigger building. And so what happens is people focus on the house and they don't focus on the foundation. And the house, because they're good builders or whatever, it grows and grows and grows, but eventually it falls because it doesn't have the right foundation. I think we see this all the time with these people in Hollywood. You know, some 18-year-old girl goes out and makes $50 million because she can sing. And then her whole life goes to hell because she doesn't have the internal ability to handle that. But it happens to 50-year-old men, too. You know, they get a good idea, they start a business, and all next thing you know, they're making $3 million a year, and they've never had that much money, and pretty soon they're doing bad things with that money and indulging themselves in ways that are going to get them in trouble, and it has to do with the fact that their internal heart, their foundation, isn't big enough to handle the size of the house that got built. And I think that's a very important lesson for us in our day and age.
Yeah, I agree. It is an important lesson, and one I don't think that the population hears often enough, and maybe even a message that was at one time taught and definitely emphasized a whole lot more than it is today. But with that, Chris, kind of a follow-up question would be, with you being one of the experts on leadership, how I'm kind of curious, how did you become so involved with wanting to be a student of leadership, and then not only a student of leadership, but making the decision that you just wanted to dig in so deep that Chris Widener would be the authority on leadership?
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting deal. You know, I became a speaker right out of college. I was speaking to high schoolers and summer camps and colleges and junior highs and stuff because I had a really pretty crazy upbringing. I was involved in drugs and alcohol at an early age and moved around 11 different schools and 28 different homes and the whole deal. And so I got a college degree in youth and family work and then got out of college, started speaking, and my speaking career progressed. And I started doing some coaching with some people on how to develop my career and some of that. And one of the things that they always tell you is you have to niche down. You know, don't just say I'm a motivational speaker because then nobody knows what in the world you're going to talk about. So I was thinking, what is it I really want to talk about? So I did a couple things. I thought back over my life and I looked at my bookshelf. And when I looked at my bookshelf, I realized that almost all the books were on leadership, or some aspect of leadership. And then I looked back through my life, and I was quarterback of the football team. I was point guard on the basketball team. I was catcher on the baseball team. I was student body president. You know, and I'm like, my whole life has been involved in leadership. And so I decided to make that jump to where I really let go of all the other topics that I could have spoken about and instead started focusing in on leadership. From there, I was already in business then when the next sort of evolution came. I was in business with Jim Rohn and Jim Rohn International and Kyle. I think you know Kyle, probably Doug. Kyle Wilson, who was the president there. And Kyle said to me one day, he said, Chris, I have never met anybody who has more influence with people than you do. You, like, know everybody. You know everybody. You've got their contacts. You're able to pick up the phone and call almost anybody and get through to them. He said, you really ought to focus in on teaching people how to have influence. And, of course, I'd never really thought about it that way. I just was living my life, doing my thing. But someone from the outside looking in saw that. And so I said, okay, and I took the next 6 months of my life to really think through that, you know, how would you be become influential, what are the characteristics of influence, and all those kinds of things. And I ended up developing an audio program called Winning with Influence, and wrote a book called The Art of Influence. And then that's probably 95% of all the speaking engagements and things that I do now are around the area of influence.
Well, great, and that's kind of where I was going to go next. I mean, you have all kinds of products out there that deal with leaderships, as you say, from CDs and DVDs and MP3s and a bunch of books. I can't remember, I heard you say 14 or 16, and I thought it was like, 112 or something. And while we were just, while I was waiting kind of to jump on the air today, I just turned in my bookshelf and said, I wonder how many of Chris's books I can find quick, and I think I do indeed own them all, but with a quick grab, I found Live the Life You Have Always Dreamed Of, and I got a quick story on that here in a minute, and 12 Pillars, and Above All Else, and The Image, and The Angel Inside, and The Art of Influence, and Leadership Rules, and those are just the books I could grab really quick. So before I kind of tell you the story a little bit, on Living the Life You've Always Dreamed Of, Chris, I'm kind of curious, with all those books that you have out there, which one maybe are you the most proud of, and or do you really think it's kind of the soup to nuts leadership story? So if somebody really wanted to find a little bit more about Chris Winer and wanted to kind of put their toes in the water and grab one book, where would you send them?
Well, by far and away, clear cut, my favorite book I've ever done. If somebody came to me and said, you have to get rid of all your other books, you can only have one book for the rest of your life to recommend to people and all that, it would be The Angel Inside. And it's subtitled Michelangelo's Secrets for Following Your Passion and Finding the Work You Love. I wrote it, I think, back in 2004, and it ended up becoming a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling book. It was number 7 on the New York Times. It would have been number 1 on Amazon, except that it came out the same week as two other books, Harry Potter, one of the Harry Potter books, and the new J.R.R. Tolkien book. So I always thought, well, if you have to come in third place, coming in third place to one of the greatest writers of all time, J.R.R. Tolkien, and the greatest fictional series in world history, I guess that's okay to be third place to those. But Angel Inside is a story about a young man who, the whole book is a half a day in Florence, Italy. He's in the last day of his vacation where he's gone to Europe to try to find himself, and he ends up bumping into a little old man who teaches him life lessons from the life of Michelangelo and the artwork of Florence, and that by far and away, it's a no-brainer. It's my favorite book and the one I'm most proud of.
Yeah, it indeed may be my favorite book of yours too, Chris, and I think maybe we should touch on just real quick for those people who have not read your book. You know, most of Chris's books, he writes in kind of a fictional style where he's telling a story. And it's the old story that has a very strong lesson or a very strong message. So you're not reading a typical nonfiction how-to book. You know, Chris kind of sneaks up on you and does tell you indeed the how-to and the what not to, but it's within the story, which makes things very, very enjoyable. And Chris really knows how to spin a very interesting tale, and that tale is such so that once you get started with one of his books, you know, you're hooked, and you just want to keep going and going with it. So I really appreciate that aspect, Chris, and that would definitely be at least one of my top two favorite books. But I got to tell you a quick story. My wife is a kindergarten teacher, so, you know, we're dealing with little, 4 and 5 year olds. She's involved this year where it's kind of a heavy politics within her building, so there's been some additional challenges, and she's kind of been trying to accept those challenges. So lo and behold, into my office she comes, and I've got books all over the place that you may imagine, there's a good 200 books in here, maybe 300 books in here, and starts going through the shelves of what should I be reading now to kind of get my head straight, to kind of figure out what's going on, to maybe put me in the right attitude. And the book she actually pulled off the shelf was Live the Life You Have Always Dreamed Of. And that's what she's in the middle of reading. So that tells you some additional influence that I think you have.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Now with that, let's turn the other way around. Now, that's the Angel Inside is the favorite book that you have written, but we always ask our guests, what is your favorite all-time book? So like we do every guest we've ever had on this radio program, we're going to ask Chris Widener, what is your favorite all-time book?
Oh, can we break it down by topic or?
No, we're going to, you know, the house is burning. You got to grab one and run outside. Which one are you grabbing?
Well, I think probably like tons and tons of other people, I'd probably have to go with the Bible. You know, it's the story of history and humanity, and there's lots of great things that go on in there and lots of negative things that go on in there, and there's poetry and narrative and kings and queens and poor people, and I'd probably have to go with the Bible.
Well, you're going to be shocked when I tell you that we've heard that answer before, and I used the Charlie Tremendous Jones footnote that I know you know about, which we take the position that the Bible isn't a true book. That's the Word of God. So with that in mind, we're going to pull that out of the equation and put you back on the hot seat. And now I ask you, Chris Widener, what's your favorite book?
There's just so many that go through my brain. Business books, religious books. I would probably say The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer is probably the one that I would pick.
Well, tell us a little something about it or maybe the why.
Have you ever heard of it, by the way?
I have heard of it, and I've heard other people speak about it. I know a little bit about it, but I will have to confess, Chris, I have not read it.
Yeah, A.W. Tozer was he was not a very successful preacher in terms of, you know, building a big church or anything like that, but he became a very successful writer. And he was interesting that he was kind of an old curmudgeon. But at the same time, he could write some of the most beautiful prose you've ever read in your life. And he wrote 30 or 40 books, but The Pursuit of God is about exactly what it says. You know, how do we pursue God? How do we make sure that God is part of that or the central core of our life that everything else emanates from? They did a poll probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, Christianity Today magazine did, and asked, you know, these 100 top leaders, what books have had the most influence on you? And Pursuit of God was the number one book collectively, the one named most often. And so that one has had a significant impact on my life. But, you know, again, there's business books that I recommend to people, and leadership books that I recommend to people, and marketing books that I recommend to people. So lots and lots of good books.
All right, great. Well, here's one more for you, Chris. How about, you know, we're winding down here a little bit. We're starting to run out of time. We still got a little bit. But how about sharing with the listeners today some little tidbit about Chris Widener that most people may not know? You know, it's not something that you normally share as part of your bio or part of your life. Give us just a little additional sneak preview into Chris Widener.
I am an avid poker player, and I played in the World Series of Poker the last 4 or 5 years. And if I had to pick my hobby, that's my hobby.
Oh, great, great. We'll have to talk off the air. I happen to know one of the people that you probably have played against, but we'll save that for another time.
Okay.
All right. Well, how about one last question, and then we're going to let you go. And that is, what are some of the leaders that Chris Weiner looks up to?
Well, you know, so many of them are people you've never heard of. My first business mentor, the guy that probably more than anybody by believing in me changed my life. I remember when I started a nonprofit early on in my career, he gave me a bunch of money for it, and I was a little surprised he gave me money for it because I hadn't asked him for it. He just contacted me, gave me a check, and I asked him why, and he said, because I believe in you. And he was CEO of Mars Candies, $25 billion a year company, I still remember to this day, you know, because I believe in you. And I was like, and I told you my upbringing, you know, all the negative things, and to have somebody of that stature tell you that they believe in you really made a difference. But I had a college professor who was a great leader, and businessmen, businesswomen who I know and meet, almost none of whom you would have ever heard of. I'm not really big into celebrities, you know. I mean, I suppose I could say Colin Powell and, you know, people like that. But most of the people that I think are really great leaders are the everyday leaders who are leading businesses and organizations that most people, you know, never heard of.
All right, great. Well, I fibbed, Chris, because I do have one more question. We had one more question that got sent in through our chat feature here, where somebody wants to know that if you are a leader and you think you pretty well have your act together and your beliefs together, what some tips you may have when you're going through the tough times, where maybe things aren't rolling out the way you want them to, maybe it's turbulent times, maybe there's some challenges. What are some tips you may have to help that person or those leaders through some tough times?
Well, to understand that tough times always come, whether you're a leader or not a leader, the difference between leaders and non-leaders is that leaders stick it out. And leaders have the ability to see the end. They have the ability to see past all the negative things. So I would just say be tough, be strong, keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye on the end game, knowing that the tough times don't last. And now I'm starting to sound like an old Robert Schuller book title, Tough Times Don't Last, but people do. But we all go through horrible things. The last 4 years of my life, I've been involved in a big brouhaha. Bought my dream house, and we've had real estate problems and lawsuits against the county and the IRS and the previous owner, and just the whole thing. And it's ended up being 1/10 of my entire life has been wrapped up in this, and it's finally coming to a conclusion. And in the middle of all of it, it was like, how long is this going to go on? And yet, here we are now, we're almost at the end. And leaders are able to look and realize that those hard times don't last. So focus on the end, and then learn everything you can about yourself and about the situation while you're in the middle of the hard times. Hard times are what's going to teach you a lot about yourself.
All right, great advice. Well, Chris, thank you for taking some time out of your very busy schedule. And I know you're a little under the weather, so we appreciate you giving us some time today. And before we let you go, How about number one, let us know if there's anything that, maybe I forgot to ask you that you'd like to share with the listeners. And number two, most important, if the listeners today want some more information about Chris Widener, want to pick up some of your some products that you have out there on the market, what is the best website or the best way to contact you and or your organization?
They can simply go to chriswidener.com, C-H-R-I-S-W-I-D-E-N-E-R, chriswidener.com, and we've got some videos on there. You can see a full-length speech that I gave at the Success Symposium. You can buy all the books that we've talked about today, audio programs and the like, and that's the best place to start.
All right, super. Well, we'll talk again soon. We thank you again, and you shared some great information that I'm sure the listeners are going to get some great use out of. So with that, Chris, we'll let you go. Thanks again.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. Go ahead and check Chris's website. I strongly suggest that. He has some great information, some great products. I probably own most of them. He's been a great influence to me, and I really appreciate the knowledge he has shared and kind of the content and the format in which Chris has shared it. And with that, everybody, it's now time to say goodbye until next time. Next week, I will be traveling, so we will have a best-of show on recording for you. But I encourage you all to stop by my website, www.discoveryourmissingpower.com, for more information about my coaching program, my speaking schedule, and to sign up for the free newsletter if you have not already done so. With that, I'm Doug Evans, and this is Missing Power Blog Talk Radio. I thank you once again for visiting today, and may God bless you all, and goodbye.